What I'd like to do today is read with you from Psalm 37, 3 through 7, and look for a one-time focus on the centrality of God in a good marriage. Actually, it's an application by extension of the sermon we heard this morning. In fact, this very text was quoted, and we sang the Psalter at the closing Psalter. So we can jump right in this morning, just continue. And then next week, God willing, I want to look with you at the role of the fear of God in marriage. How marriage, when it's lived out in the fear, the childlike fear of God, brings happiness in every sphere of life. We're going to look at that from Psalm 128. The following week, which will be the first Sunday of May, Dr. Johnson will continue with the Gospel of John, God willing. And then the following week, I want to look with you at how love functions in a good marriage. And we're going to look at the 14 qualities in 1 Corinthians 13. And try to explain them to you in a practical way, how love functions. And then I think we take a break with the catechism class for a few months and come back in the fall, God willing, and look at a few more practical things in marriage, maybe in September or so. And then the goal would be to move to child rearing probably by October and spend a good year of instruction on child rearing. Okay, so that's what I'm going to. And then in the summer, God willing, I hope to, if the Lord spares us all, I hope to make a final list, which I'll pass out first thing in the fall, of all the subjects we hope to treat. Psalm 37, 3 through 7. Notice the first word of 3, 4, 5, and 7. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Thus far, let us pray together. Great God of heaven, we thank thee for the message of divine centrality that we heard this morning with regard to Sabbath keeping. As we take up that same theme with regards to marriage keeping, we pray that our covenanted marriages may prosper as we take to heart the need to focus on Thee in marriage as the source of true happiness and true blessedness. And Lord, as we see the psalmist's fourfold approach to this focusing on God, we pray that this approach may be used as a model, as a recipe for a truly happy marriage in every home represented this morning in our gathering. Help us to expound this in an edifying way, and most of all, help us to live it, Lord, day by day in our homes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm calling this lecture to you God's Recipe for a Happy Marriage, because I believe if you take those first four words of verse 3, 4, 5, the first word of verse 3, 4, 5, and 7, you have four ingredients which, if you mix them together in marriage, you will have a recipe for a truly happy marriage. The first ingredient is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The word trust here in Hebrew means lean on Him. Depend on Him. Go to Him for wisdom. Look to Him for blessing, for every blessing. And it means, of course, by default, Don't trust in yourselves. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't trust in your gifts. Don't trust in what you've accumulated. Don't even trust in each other as husband and wife, as your ultimate ground of happiness. I heard an address yesterday at the Alliance conference where a brother was telling us how he loved his wife and loved his dog and loved different things at different levels of love, but then he stopped and he said, "But I love God most of all." That's what we need in marriage, to put God first. If we truly want to be happy. You see, you aren't perfect. Your spouse isn't perfect. So if you trust in imperfection, you get imperfection. But if you trust in Him who is perfect, you've got a solid foundation for your marriage. You've got perfect joy at the core of your marriage. And so always remember in marriage that both parties are sinners. Both parties have weaknesses. Don't expect too much of each other and too much of marriage all by itself apart from God. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. You see, only God is worthy of your supreme trust. Now we must trust each other, of course. Trust that each other will be faithful. We're not talking about that right here. We're talking about, what do you lean on for your strength? Where do you put your supreme allegiance, your supreme trust? And then we must not trust in our riches or in this world or in our partners or in our good kids or our good jobs. You can lose your job in a day. Your child could go wild in a month. We have to trust in the Lord. Trust only in the blood of Jesus Christ. Spiritually too, that applies. We are not to trust in our repentance, are we? We're not to trust in our tears or our spiritual or moral works. We trust in the Lord. Faith pins all its hope on the covenant-keeping God of Israel. The unchangeable God. That's why the word Lord is in capital letters here. It's the Yahweh. In fact, if you look at it, all four times, verse 3, 4, 5, and 7, all four of these ingredients are connected with Yahweh, the unchangeable, the I am that I am, the special name revealed to Moses in the bush. This God doesn't change. We change. We change as marital partners. We grow old. We grow weak. We have infirmities come to the surface. But God doesn't change. So this is your foundation for a happy marriage. Trust in the Lord. And when we do that rightly, of course, then we want to obey the Lord out of that trust. You know the hymn, "Trust and Obey." There is no other way. This is the way to happiness. And so the psalmist basically gives that same thought here. He says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." There's a connecting link here in that little word "and." If you trust in the Lord, if you lean on the Lord, you will do good. Faith will be actively obedient. And you see, if trust in the Lord is the foundation of your marriage, then you will love each other out of that trust, and you will do good. You will have energy to do good to your partner, to do good to your children, to do good to those around you. Marriage was never meant to be a kind of dating phenomena where you just kind of look at each other. And that's all you do. Marriage, I often put it this way to couples that marry. I hope you may love each other so much in the Lord that you will have excess energy from your love that will spill out beyond your relationship and reach out to the service of others. See, God supreme, God is the trust. The marriage relation, second. Looking to each other in the Lord. But being based on the Lord, third, is this whole tier of other relationships in our family, in our relatives. And beyond that, friends, church, school associates, work associates, mission work, evangelism, where there's real trust, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul is settled in Him as husband and wife. And we love one another in the Lord. There's energy out of that love to do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Good to the physical needs, the spiritual needs of those around you. And that brings true happiness, doesn't it? When you serve other people, when you've got energy to do good to your own children. I read recently, someone said, it's often said there's nothing you can take to eternity with you. But they are wrong. There's one thing you can take to eternity with you. Your own children. What a blessing. That may be the one thing we take to eternity with us. My sons, my daughters, come with me. Let us trust in the Lord. Oh, do good out of this trust to your own children. You will be truly happy. And do good to others, I said. Console the afflicted. Relieve the widow. Remember the poor. Befriend the outcast. That's what we heard this morning from Isaiah 58. What does James say? James says, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the father and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Trust in God and do good means to have an evangelistic heart for other people. And then is the attached promise, you see. Thou shalt dwell in the land and be fed. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord will feed you with spiritual blessings. As you serve others, He will feed you with outward blessings. As we heard again this morning, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Trust in the Lord first, and all other things shall be added to you. You will dwell in the land that flows with milk and honey, the Canaan of the covenant. Now the second ingredient of a good marriage is to delight in the Lord. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So we don't only lean on the Lord to get saved, but we also get our joy in the Lord. We delight in Him. We relish Him. If we're true believers, if you want true happiness in marriage, there's no happiness like that when two people rejoice in the Lord and can shake their heads in each other's presence in amazement that God is so good to them and find their delight in worshiping Him together. Now that's possible, of course, only in Christ. This is a delighting in God through Christ. The Hebrew word here is delight in the strongest possible tense. It's been translated, take exquisite delight in Him. Relish Him. Rejoice in Him. Give God your chief regards, your first hope, your supreme joy. Look to Him as the source of all blessedness. Meditate on His blessed character, His blessed perfections. The Puritans were so good at that, you know. They would single out a certain attribute of God, say His holiness or His mercy, and they'd spend their 20 to 30 minute devotion time that morning just meditating on everything they knew on the mercy of God. They'd focus on the attributes of God so that they could delight themselves directly in God. That's what we are to do if we want to be truly happy. We have to live near to Him. We have to think about Him. We have to meditate on Him. We have to read His Word. Seek His glory. Labor to exalt Him. To please Him. To lift Him up. That's why the Westminster Divine said it so simply, so beautifully. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's not just in heaven, it will be forever, but it begins here. Delighting myself in the Lord. Now, where does this delight come from? Well, it comes, of course, from the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit works that delight. He works a need for that delight. And He works a delight in that delight, if you will. So that we rejoice in God. He makes room for Christ. It comes then from God's grace. But it doesn't just come once. We don't just come to Christ and say, well, now I'm saved, now I'm going to go back to the world. No, this becomes our life. This becomes our deepest joy. When I think of 2006, if I think of December 31, God willing, and I look back over this year, what's the biggest question for me when I ask myself, was this really a successful year? The biggest question is, did I delight in the Lord? Was I near to the Lord? Did I enjoy His fellowship? Did I experience His mercy? Was there contact with God? Was there relationship with God? And if there wasn't, you see, I could have outwardly the best possible marriage, but there's still the main ingredient of life that is missing. So this is absolutely critical, friends. And another thing, another source of this delight, is a clear conscience. When your heart is fixed on Jesus, and you surrender your sins to Him and your conscience is cleansed, there's joy, there's peace that passes understanding. And this spills over into your marriage. What a joy when husband and wife can have a clean conscience for Christ's sake in front of each other and delight in the Lord together. And then two, this source of delight comes from what the old divines used to call a holy and frequent familiarity with God. Outwardly in marriage, what is it that makes you just feel so close to your spouse, closer than to anyone else on earth? Well, part of it, besides your commitments and your love, of course, part of it is your familiarity with your spouse. You're around her. You know what she looks like. You know what she thinks. You know her personality traits. And you just love her. And part of that love is solidified by familiarity. In marriage, a good marriage, familiarity does not breed contempt. It breeds more love. So, with God, the more familiar I am with God, this is infinitely more true now, because God has no faults. The more I love Him, the more I delight in Him. That's one of the purposes of the Sabbath. Every Sabbath we come back to God's house to spend a day in our home and in the church of God, becoming familiar again with God. There's so much mud of the world that we walk in, so much that injures us, so much that throws dirt on us in the week. And we have such proneness in our own dirty hearts to mess things up in our relationship with God. And so we come back every Sunday so that we might be realigned, as a chiropractor would say, in our relationship with God, so we could delight in Him afresh from holy familiarity with Him. And then I think there's one more source too. I'm calling this a looking back and a looking forward in my notes here. And what I mean by this is, I delight in God not only at the present moment all by itself, but my delight in God is in relation to past and future. I look back on mercies past, And I look forward to the unknown future, knowing that the God of yesterday and today will be the same forever in Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13. So my delight is in this constancy in God, the unchangeability of Yahweh, the I am that I am, the I was that I was, the I shall be that I shall be. He's my God yesterday, today, and forever. So I delight in that. And that gives strength to a marriage. Because what happens in a marriage and in family life, things are changing all the time, aren't they? Kids are growing up. Before you know it, they're married and you're empty nesters. And then you've got grandchildren coming along. And life is fast. God is unchangeable. When a couple rests on that, you see, then they can sing with delight. Oh God, our help in ages past. Be Thou our hope for years to come. What a beautiful thing that is, to do that with assurance and confidence. You see, then we don't delight in sin. We don't delight in carnality. We don't delight in flirting with the world. We don't delight in asking how close can we come and not sin. What can we bring into our home that makes us come close to sin, that tempts? No. Then we say, Lord, help us to keep everything out of our home and everything out of our hearts that would injure our relationship with Thee, that would injure this delight in Thee. Delight thyself in the Lord. And here's the promise attached: He will give thee the desires of thy heart. What desires? Well, the desires of love. What does a believer desire? He desires to love God. He desires to love his spouse. He desires to love his children. He desires to be loved of them. He desires to live in the cocoon of love. Well, that's what will happen when we delight in God. God is able to embrace us. He delights in us. He is the first, after all, who loved us. And so when we delight in God, we taste the desire of our hearts to be conformed to His image, to be delivered from worldly bondage, to have our consciences sprinkled with His blood, to enjoy His peace. His joy elevates us. His love is shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, friends, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's the second great ingredient in the recipe of a happy marriage, a happy home, a happy man, a happy woman. Thirdly, commit thy way. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That too, of course, is in Christ, Yahweh again. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. This is a beautiful word in Hebrew. Actually, in Hebrew, if you were to translate it literally, you know what it would say? It would say, roll unto Jehovah, or Yahweh, your way. Roll your ways upon Him. Take your sins, take your burdens, take your needs. Roll it unto Him. Leave your cares with the eternal Jehovah of the covenant. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll it on Him. Well, I've broken it down into two thoughts. Roll your providential future on Him. You notice on the outline, your providential future. All the affairs of this life. Frequently, we cannot manage ourselves well. We have to admit that we cannot live adequately without the Lord. And so just like a child commits himself to his dad or his mom, needs his mom and dad, so believers, married believers, need the Lord. I don't know how you fathers feel, but it seems that sometimes the children need the mother more than the father for all kinds of little things. That's well and good. And sometimes just about as you're ready to leave the home, you hear the word floating through the home, don't you? Mom! 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 From different directions. What about this? What about that? Mom is so needed. Mom is the hub. when mom is absent, things just aren't the same. Well, that's the way we should feel about God as believers. We should be moving through the day, crying out the secret cries that go up to God. God, oh Lord, Jehovah, help me with this. Keep me from sin over here. Help me to pursue righteousness. Help me to act like thy son. Lord, 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 ringing through the home of the soul of our lives, rolling everything all day long unto the Lord. Give me wisdom. Help me to delight in thee. Little cries, little prayers. Be merciful to me. Roll your way unto Jehovah. Your perplexing ways, your depressing ways, your the crooked ways, the mountainous ways. Lay it all at his feet. Be like Ruth. She came to Boaz, you know, and she lay down at his feet and she said, spread thy skirt over thy handmaid. As if she said, take care of me, Boaz. I leave everything in thy hands. Commit your providential future to the Lord. And when both people do that, their happiness multiplies. Commit your sicknesses. Commit your headaches, your pains, your arthritis, your cancer. Commit everything to the Lord. But also commit your spiritual course to the Lord. Trust Him with the care of your souls. And He will bring blessing to pass. All shall end well, everlasting well, for those who roll over their ways unto Jehovah. Thy way not mine, O Lord, writes a poet. However dark it be, O lead me by thine own right hand. Choose out the path for me. Smooth let it be or rough, it will be still the best. Winding or straight, it matters not. It leads me to thy rest. I dare not choose my lot. I would not if I might. But choose thou for me, O my God. So shall I walk aright. Take thou my cup, and it with joy or sorrow fill, as ever best to thee may seem. Choose thou my good and ill. That takes grace to do, doesn't it? To roll over everything spiritually, naturally, so unconditionally on the Lord that you say, choose my good and my ill. And when both people do that in a marriage, do you understand how secure that marriage is? How happy that marriage is? Trusting in the Lord. And he shall bring forth, there's the promise attached, he shall bring forth thy righteousness to the light. So, obviously the psalmist was being attacked by someone. Someone was accusing him of something. He doesn't kick back. He doesn't defend himself. He just rolls it over unto the Lord. He will let the judge of all the earth do right and vindicate him in due time. You see, if we look for God's honor, God will look for ours. We do God's work, He will take care of our needs. We fight God's battles, He will fight ours. Just roll everything unto the Lord. Ingredient number 4, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. In the Hebrew, if you translate it very literally, it would be silent to the Lord. Be silent to the Lord. Not with a fatalistic, begrudging, compulsory silence. The silence of the world that says, well, you just got to grin and bear it. You can't help it. The Lord's in charge. But a submissive silence. A hand upon the mouth, like Job. A childlike silence. A bowing silence. A silence that acknowledges that all my afflictions are from the Lord. So that when troubles come, as husband and wife, we look at each other and we say, it is the Lord. God is speaking. Let us not rebel, my dear wife, my dear husband. Let us not kick against the pricks. Rest in the Lord. Be silent. It's the Lord. And then to justify Him, that's a deeper step of silence, isn't it? To justify Him. It is right, no matter what He does. No matter if you, my dear, or I get cancer or have a heart attack or one of us dies, it is right. We're sinners. The Lord is still better to us than we are to Him. Rest in the Lord. Or deeper yet, to approve of the Lord. To say it is well. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, how truly happy are those people who can be so one with God's will that they approve of it when it seems to come against them. And deepest of all, clinging to the Lord as my dearest friend when He seems to come against me as my greatest enemy. Clinging in holy silence, letting the Lord of the earth do what is right and just and good, believing that all things will work together for good to those that love Him. What a wonderful thing this is. You see, a silent tongue before God shows us a wise head, not only, but also a holy heart. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently for Him. How many times in marriage don't you have to say to your spouse, one to the other, works both ways, maybe it's best to do nothing about this problem right now. Maybe it's best to wait. Let's see what the Lord will do. Wait patiently. His timing is best. He knows exactly what to do. He knows how much to give. He knows how much to withhold. Sometimes we don't know what to do. It can best just be silent. Well, these are the four ingredients then of a true happy marriage. And I wish that you will meditate on these four counsels. Trust. Delight. Commit. Rest in the Lord. And you will have a happy marriage indeed if both parties engage in this fourfold grace. Let us pray together. Great God of heaven, we bow before Thee in these moments and do thank Thee for this wonderful little recipe for a truly happy life, a truly happy marriage, truly happy existence on this earth, tucked away so imperceptibly in the middle of Psalm 37. We pray, Lord, that these four words may go with us and that we may trust and rest and do these things toward Thee with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. We may find in and through Jesus, who modeled all four of these things perfectly, our redemption, our salvation, and yes, our happiness too. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.